When the Sox and Celtics and Patriots or Bruins are champions again, to the chagrin of New York and Chicago fans, the crowds will gather and watch a parade go down Boylston Street. And this time next year, on the third Monday in April, the world will return to this great American city to run harder than ever and to cheer even louder for the 118th Boston Marathon. Bet on it.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
This is our fucking city. And nobody gonna dictate our freedom. Stay strong. Thank you.
Let's sort of just tackle, I guess, the modern era. So we'll leave behind we'll jump sort of maybe from like 1900 on. Have you seen any sort of like trends or overarching themes develop amongst all these cases?
Well, that they're increasing. I think a lot of people think that no, that we don't have encounters anymore. I tend to differ. It seems to be an increase of encounters from the 1900s on up. I mean, and maybe more profound cases and more high strangeness cases now. Now and then, 2013, let me see how many cases I have already. Because I haven't updated the website for 2013. I included 2010 to 2013 together. Mm-hmm. So
I'm sure it's by the nature, while you're looking at that, I'll just sort of make the point that just by the nature of time and everything, it's probably harder to get the more recent ones anyway, in a sense.
It seems to be like a more complex encounters now. It's not just your typical flying saucer landing and a little man coming out. It's more complex now. It's not just your friendly little green man. You got a lot of what I call bedroom and intruders and all kinds of encounters.
Bedroom intruders, yeah, it's like the Australian case.
Yeah, that's very common. That's very common, very creepy.
Jesus.
And you have you're at. Let me see. I tell you, I got a. I haven't added any, but I have like 78 cases for 2013.
78 cases, wow.
78 cases, yeah.
And like I said, but just by the nature of time, that number could increase to 150 or something in 5 years, because people will, somebody might call you in 2016 and say, oh, this thing happened to me in 2013, and then that'll go into the list, so it's...
Yeah, exactly, like that lady that contacted me from Arkansas, that she had an encounter in 2011.
Right, so...
And it seems to be like a lot of encounters, South America. They're like, it never stops there, especially Chile, Argentina. For some reason, it's like, wow, it never stops. We had some winged entities in Chile recently. There was a photograph taken. Talking about photograph, I don't know if this is not in the UFO info yet, but there's a photograph taken of an entity in Chile. And November 7, 2013, there's a weird, this is a real weird image. I want to send you an email with that, with my new cases so you could look at it. And plus there's another photograph of another entity taken in Argentina on November 19, 2013. And in both instances, they were not seen. After the film was developed, that's when they noticed the weird entities.
Well, that was the case with the Polish video too, I think.
Yes, exactly, yeah. In many cases, it's like that. I'll send you my newest ones from 2013.
Yeah.
On your email, so you can look at them.
Yeah, it's remarkable stuff. I mean, I really. it's a difficult topic to grasp in a sense, because like I said, I think we're dealing with a multitude of different things all happening at once. You know,
you're right. Many, many different type of phenomena included here.
Right.
A lot of different types. And many people will ask me, what is your favorite encounter, your strangest encounter? I can't really answer that because there's so many.
Yeah.
It's been a while, you know. It's impossible.
Do you ever feel like jaded by these? Cause you've gotten so many, looked at so many cases and everything. Are you ever just like, oh geez, you know,
I want to give up. Yeah, I'm a couple times I almost did, but then I keep coming back at it, doing that. I don't know why I keep coming back, and I think it feels like it's something that I have to do. I don't know why, but one day I'll stop. I don't know, maybe soon. I'm not sure.
No, dude, you can't stop. I gotta tell you, this is like, you're doing some of the best work I've seen in a long, long time. So you can't stop. I gotta give all props and due respect to Greg Bishop. He's been raving about your stuff for a while and really turned me on to the website a few months ago, and I was completely blown away, and I'm still stunned by the sheer amount of stuff. So,
well, Greg, I talked to him again February something. We have a date set up with him again. Yeah,
I think he said on the 9th, so around that time. But
yeah.
See, tell me a little bit about these Type X cases where you say the situation is so uncanny that it doesn't fit into any of the previous classifications of encounter. Talk a little bit about these Type X events.
Well, that's not recent. Denomination that I used, type X, is when, okay, it doesn't really fit in. Something that's so weird and so high strength that I go, wow, it's not, it doesn't, sometimes it doesn't necessarily deal with a humanoid, it's with something, an event so weird that you can't really, like this case in Russia, just a couple friends or some friends this abandoned stadium, they were just, you know, playing around like that. And one of them suddenly seemed to stumble and he fell, but then he fell through the wall. It seemed like the wall wasn't there. All of a sudden he found himself in what he described it like a room, and he saw some windows and he looked out. It was dark outside, but he was totally in a different location. He didn't know where he was. Then he walked a little bit in the room. There was some men. He described them as like wearing some kind of a uniform with mask, and they were walking towards him. And he, terrified, he ran, he stumbled again, all of a sudden he fell out of the wall again, and his friends have been looking for him for the last hour or so.
Yeah.
I mean, this is investigated by a couple of Russian researchers, what do you make of that? I don't know.
That's weird.
And there are many cases like that. I just started doing the Type X. A lot of people ask me, it's really hard to pinpoint, but the ones that you just got to read them, and that way you can determine if it's an X or not.
Right. Well, there's a couple in there that are like, people get into the craft and they see a Bigfoot in the craft, or they see a Bigfoot interacting with the ETs in a natural sort of way, as if they're on the same page, sort of.
Yes. That's what I, you know, that's why I say that Bigfoot, in my opinion, okay, I don't think Bigfoot is an animal. I think Bigfoot, I'm convinced almost that Bigfoot is an intelligent being, perhaps even more intelligent than us, than humans. And he has psychic powers or potential. It can speak to us, communicate via, you know, telepathy and do other stuff. Become invisible, like, you know, there are reports like that of Bigfoot. All of a sudden that you see a Bigfoot and it starts running, it all of a sudden disappears.
Right
in front of you.
Yeah, it seems like the Bigfoot, it's not an accident that people haven't nailed it yet. It knows that we're trying to find it. So, it knows not to be found. It's a very,
there's always rumors of Bigfoot bones here and there, but no, I don't think there's any credible cases in which somebody had captured a Bigfoot, actually. You
No, I mean, it goes back to like what we were saying about shooting these things. If somebody shot an alien or a Bigfoot, we'd know about it, but that would be the game changer. That would change the whole paradigm of what we're dealing with. So clearly we haven't reached that point yet.
No.
I tend to generally ask people this a lot, who do sort of, I guess, the fringe research or who are doing really good, compelling stuff. Have you ever encountered any pushback from, let's say, the powers that be or people that don't want you to look into the humanoid aspect of all this?
Well, I guess I could say it now. When I was in the Navy, that's when I started doing my compilation of cases, not necessarily the humanoid, but I was up in Great Lakes boot camp, and I was, remember the old UFO magazine Saga UFO Review or Report, Saga, S-A-G-A, UFO Report, Saga. I used to be subscribed to that, one of the first people that was, and then I was in the Navy, and then my family will send the magazine up to my boot camp. And one day they call me chief, and they call me into their office, and I went in, and they told us, and they brought out the magazine. I guess they opened up the package, and they go, "Why are you reading this?" I go, "Well, that's unsubscribed to, I guess, interested in." And they looked at it, and they looked at me, and they saw a little smile, and they gave it back. They didn't take it away, but they were, for some reason, they were kind of wondering why I was interested in that stuff. I guess they thought it wasn't...
Right.
And in my current job, which I don't want to go into, one day I was sent an email by Angela Joyner.
Yeah.
She wanted to interview me, and I gave her a bio, and I told her where I worked, and I think somebody at work saw that, and I was calling the office and told them not to do it. So... Yeah, it's a little. Sometimes I do get a little pushback.
Right. But no visits from Men in Black or anything like that.
No, not yet. No. No. I have sent you the email.
Yes, I see.
Okay.
It's pretty weird. I mean, I don't know what to. It's. Have you come to any sort of conclusions about a lot of this stuff? I mean, you've looked at it much deeper than I have, obviously, the humanoid aspect of it. I mean, it feels like we're just unaware. I feel like that's the word that comes to my mind here when I talk about, I guess, the human race in a way. We're at a big event. We don't know we're in attendance to, if you will.
Most people are clueless. Yeah, they don't know. They have no idea. And it's true. The thing we're mostly worried about daily life, which is true, which is maybe it should be that way. And most people don't even bother to look up in the stars. But there's something around us as I don't know. There's more to this world than what we believe or what we see. I think that's what I conclude. I think that there's more out there. We're not alone in this earth. Hmm. And I'm not talking about, you know, our animal friends. I'm talking about somebody else is with us. They've been here for longer than us. Maybe they think that we're the ones that are intruding here. Who knows?
That's a creepy thought. Yeah. Well, you do sort of wonder in a sense, where it's like we could be sharing the planet with some other entity or species or something like that, or some intelligence is probably the best way to put it, and they could have been here all along, and they might not be too happy that we've just taken over the place.
No, they might not like us too much. Who knows? But maybe some of them do care for us, which is the hope for many of the people that do have encounters.
Hmm.
Maybe they're here to serve mankind.
Well, that's a good jumping off point in a sense, because one of the aspects of these Type X cases in the article that you wrote for the website there is it was such a chilling term, the permanent abduction, which right. It sounds like what that guy in Cleveland did to those girls. You know, a permanent abduction is just that they're just taking you forever. that's a scary thought, especially when you think about there's a guy doing great work, David Paulides, who does work on these amazing missing person cases.
I have all these books so far, and just incredible. And that's another thing that people are totally unaware of what's going on.
Yeah, and you wonder if there's some kind of Venn diagram point there where these permanent abductions and the mysterious disappearances somehow connect or something. I don't know. It's scary.
Yeah. Permanent abductions, there's more than people want to really admit. A lot of them. Like the Fredrich Valentich case in Australia, the pilot, and the two Puerto Rican pilots back in 1980. That's many cases, actually.
Yeah, it's a phenomenon, that's for sure. It's frightening in a way. It's kind of like I've done a little bit on human mutilations cases, but the permanent abduction thing is, like you say in the Type X article, unless there's someone there to see it, you don't necessarily know it was a permanent abduction.
True.
But then
there's a case in again out of Brazil that seems to be like crazy stuff happening that happens there. Two brothers, and they were abducted. One was brought back, and the other one was never heard from again. This happened in 78 in Brazil. I mean, and instances like that when there's a couple of witnesses and one disappears and the other one. I mean, usually if it happens here, maybe they'll arrest the guy and accuse him of murdering his brother. I don't know if that's what happened over there, but no, he was believed. It was an actual case in January 1978 in Brazil.
Yeah. Now, why do you think it is that Latin America is such a hotbed for these types of stories?
You know, I really can't. There's a lot of Latin America. There's a lot of ancient history there. There's a lot of ancient ruins there. The Maya, the Inca, the Olmecs, and before them, other civilizations that were there. And there's a lot of folklore there. There's a lot of legend. And same with in Europe, in the UK and all over Europe, and I mean in the US also, because we got the American Indians, and they have legends and they have their mythology. A lot of that deals with visitors from the stars, from other realms or from other planets. If you think about it, a lot of our ancient myth and mythology deals with visits from other places.
Yeah.
By gods or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think you mentioned Artie Six Killer Clark in a few places in these reports. She's done amazing work uncovering these modern encounters. I think one of the big things that I took home from obviously your site and her work too is these things are happening in modern times, and stunningly, it's really not as widely reported in the paranormal media as you would think. Why do you think that is? Do you think people are still subliminally afraid of the entities in a way, just like it was back in the day of the NICAP and APRO kind of?
I think so. I think it's really hard to accept something like that. I mean, it's like accepting that there's something here that's more intelligent than man, than human, more powerful than human, and could take us out anytime they wanted to. I don't know. Maybe they don't want to face the fact, but we're not at the top of the food chain. That's what I think.
Right, right.
I mean, I'm not saying they're going to eat us or anything like that, but there's something here more powerful and more intelligent than us.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. And people probably don't want to... I guess when you look at it like a UFO is benign. It's not... It's up in the sky. It probably can't hurt you relatively, but once we got these things running around on the ground, then we're dealing with a whole other kettle of fish of potential danger and fear.
Yeah, I like to include all the cases, the benign cases, the bad cases, the negative cases. A lot of people don't want to deal with the negative cases. They totally ignore those. They just want to believe that there's brothers from outer space are coming here to save us. I like to believe that too. But, you know, we got to be, we have to believe what we see and what we read and what we're told.
Right. We have to deal with the facts that we have, or the information that we have.
Right. The information that we have. Yeah.
So it would be foolish. It would be foolish to dismiss the frightening ones because we don't want to be frightened, because that could we do that at our own peril, perhaps.
Right. You have to be open to all the situations or all the type of encounters, and you have to look at the good and the bad. In order to have light, they got to be darkness also. So that's my opinion.
We talked about the spiritual or psychological effect on these folks who've had these humanoid encounters. What about, and you talked about the people who shot at the UFOs and bad stuff happened to them. But I guess talk a little bit, maybe, are there any instances where people encounter these entities and then later fall ill or show any sign of physical effects from the encounters?
Yeah, many times there are people that, many times they're warned not to get close by the entities, but they still do. And then later on, these people become really sick. A lot of them are like, their hair starts falling out. A lot of them get cancer, either some type of cancer and there are other type of negative effects. You know, they become ill, they become weak, they're bedridden for weeks. There's cases like that there's a case in Spain. This guy left work one night in his motorcycle, and he was followed by some kind of egg-shaped craft, a UFO, and came close to him. Just followed him, didn't do anything else, just followed the guy. And 2 days later, he was bedridden. He never left the bed. He died within a month. And the doctors say that he died of consumption, or he just withered away. And there's a famous Brazilian case from the 46. This guy was hit by a green beam from the sky. And an hour later, his flesh started falling off his body.
Oh, Jesus.
This happened in 1946. It should be his flesh started falling off, and he was still alive.
Oh, God.
They carted him over to the hospital. When they got there, the guy was almost a skeleton, but he was still alive, and then he died. You can't get any worse than that.
No. Jeez.
It's a 1946 case.
Oh, my God.
March.
That's not the Virginia case, is it?
No. The Virginia case was a UFO crash, recovery of entities.
Right,
it happened in 1996. That's another, thing altogether, which I believe that there have been recoveries of anomalous craft and entities.
Yeah, it stands to reason. There's been some widespread sort of reports, if you will, about either obviously crash UFOs, and that's a whole other genre, if you will. Crash UFOs, alleged crash retrieval teams, cases like the Virginia case, a lot of weird stuff. This whole thing is flummoxing. The more I even look at the humanoid stories, and I presume you also sort of include, there's also like this element to it. We've kind of focused on the UFO aspect of it, but there's also this sort of folkloric element of it. Elementals and gnomes, as I teased before, and elves and fairies and that kind of stuff. Have you looked at those cases? And I mean, what do you make of that whole thing? Do you think, what do you make of that whole thing?
I include all those cases also. I think they're entities that are anomalous entities or humanoids. Maybe in the Middle Ages, when people encountered little men, they were called, like Jacques Ballet said, they were called fairies or elves back then.
Right.
And the funny thing is that nowadays we still have reports of encounters with elves and fairies, even leprechauns. I have loads of cases like leprechaun type entities in my files.
Strange.
There was O'Brien. He wrote the cases over there in Colorado. He, in his book Enter the Valley, he includes a case of a hunter, a bear hunter, I believe, was in Colorado on the New Mexico border. He encountered something in the woods that looked just like a leprechaun. So a little man dressed in green with a green hat. And this is in New Mexico.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Weird. See, that's the cool part in a lot of ways, too, because this is so... Once you start going down one train of thought, you start going off on all these sort of, like I said, outliers and things where you're like, no, not necessarily, you know, not necessarily. It's kind of very bewildering because at first you think, well, maybe just like you said, maybe, and Valet said, you know, maybe the tales of elves and gnomes were really the aliens and it was all, or, you know, for lack of a better term, on aliens, you know, all this one same thing. But then you get stories where, like this guy you're talking about who clearly saw, you know, something along the lines of a diminutive human, if you will, not an alien. I guess is the
right.
So we're back to these being different things again. It's very confusing.
Very, I know. I mean, I wish it's really hard to. I think it's really hard to find an answer to this. Hmm. I'm not here to find. I'm not doing this to find an answer. I'm just doing it to have a record of all these incidents and encounters.
Right.
I want to have a record. A chronicle. If you will, all these incidents. I'm not here to find an answer, really. I don't think I'll be able to find an answer. Maybe there's an answer among all those cases in there somewhere, combined with something. Who knows? But I find it difficult.
Well, Greg and I were talking about this, and I've talked about it with other guests, too, and hopefully someday in the not-too-distant future, you know, the right people can come together for a project like this. But I'd love to see somebody take that database of stuff that you have and synthesize it statistically and see if we can come up with anything in there that we haven't figured out or noticed yet. Do you know what I mean? Where it's like all of a sudden we realize that if you're in Brazil on the 4th of November and it's a full moon, it's going to happen or something like that.
Yeah, true.
So... I'd like to see a project like that undertaken someday. You know, maybe I can.
It will be great.
Yeah, be great. Yeah, because that might be the only. Like you said, maybe the answer's in there, but we
somewhere.
Don't know how to figure out what question to ask yet. Might be the best way to put it. You know. Do you foresee
right.
What I like about you two, Albert, is you got your head down. You're just doing the work, which I have a lot of respect for. Do you foresee? Within the UFO community, of course, though, there is this sort of this push for us to be told the answer. Do you foresee any sort of future where we do, or is it just always going to be a mystery to us, you think?
I don't know. It's going to be a mystery. I think it's going to be a mystery for a while. I think, like you said, if once we go to another plane, I have a feeling we'll find the answer. But, while we're still here in this world, I think it's going to be a mystery for a while. I don't know. Unless something really happens, something that, like earth shattering, I don't see anything that's going to be like, that's going to tell us what's the answer coming up anytime soon. I mean, that's my opinion. I don't know. A lot of people think there's going to be government revelation coming out soon, and we're going to be told. I don't know. I wish it would be true. So.
Yeah, but just looking at your stuff is like an argument against that, in a sense, just because the sheer amount of weirdness going on, I can't imagine that the government could have figured it out themselves. So, and whatever answers they have might have come from one of these entities, and I don't know if I would trust it in the first place, so who knows?
Or maybe they gave up already, and never really...
I could see that, yeah. The government saying, hey, this is way too complicated and weird for us, and it's not hurting us, so let's just move on.
Yeah. I was looking at a case here, and which I always thought it was, you know, a lot of people ask me, what is this case that you find important, I mean, interesting? There's this case in 1993 from Israel.
Uh-huh.
A place called Borgata, May 30, this lady, Hannah, she woke up. She heard a dog barking. She got up. This is around 3 a.m. in the morning and went downstairs from her bedroom to the kitchen and looked out the garden through the glass door. When she saw her dog literally flying through the air and slamming against the wall.
Oh, God.
Poor dog. shocked and terrified, she bravely opened the door. I was confronted by an invisible wall. She couldn't move. She couldn't go any further. Then she saw like an 8-foot-tall giant, a man in bright coveralls. Her first thought, for some reason, was a thief, she thought. Suddenly, she heard something inside her head that told her, "You think I'm a thief? What did you do with my dog?" she asked furiously. And then she heard again in her head, "He disturbed me as you do now." The giant spoke to her telepathically without moving his lips. And this what he said next: "I could crush you, but I don't want to. Just leave me alone. I'm busy." The woman then ran back into the bedroom to wake up her husband. When both came down, the giant had disappeared. In the garden, they found huge footprints, about 1 foot and 4 inches in length. And they later found circles in their garden and some kind of powder on the floor. But I just thought it was kind of frightening the way this entity told a lady that he could crush her.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm rendered speechless here. Yeah, that's she's like an insect. He just dismisses her like I would, you know, I could fling you across the wall like the dog. Did the dog die, or was it what happened with the dog?
Doesn't mention anymore what happened to the dog. Hopefully not. Well, he was slammed against the wall, but it reminds me of that of the movie Prometheus, the tall giant type of creature. Did you see the movie?
No, I didn't see it.
No, okay, all right. Well, never mind then. But I thought this is a kind of a strange, ominous case. I don't like to dwell on the negative cases, but there's, you know, they should be paying attention to, I believe, you know.
What about an instance where you've heard of these kind of stories where it's like they're often tagged with an angel situation where people are saved by an entity, a mysterious entity. Have you ever looked at that kind of thing? Have you ever gotten any? I'm sure you have. I feel like every question I ask, have you gotten these? And you're like, yes, I have a million of them. Have you talk a little bit about those potential stories? Because I'm sure they've crossed your path.
There are many cases, in which people claim that they've been beneficially affected after encountering, not necessarily a humanoid, but after encountering a UFO. I remember the case in Texas, the two police officers, one of them had been recently bitten by I believe it was an alligator, and he had a wound. And they came upon a UFO that emitted some light towards them or something, and the next day this guy was cured of the wound. And there's also cases of people claimed, I talked to a guy personally from Brooklyn, New York, and he said he was cured of his cancer after an encounter with he woke up and there was, like, according to him, there was 4 men in the room. They were all blonde, wearing blue outfits, tight fit, and blonde hair, and they came up to him. They did something to his stomach. And he was cured of his cancer. He had some kind of cancer. I don't remember what, pancreatic, which is very lethal. Hmm. I talked to him back in the 90s. According to him, it happened in 89. That's his story. I can't say it's true or not, but there's many cases in which people claim very positive, you know, after effects.
Yeah.
So it's not all doom and gloom.
Right, right. It's not all that they have these encounters and they die, or they get sick,
right,
or anything. It's so weird.
Get threatened, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, I'm sure you've sort of looked at the Men in Black aspect of all this too, because that's one where people don't know if they're humans or aliens or what. They're kind of like the Black Eyed Kids situation.
Yeah, a lot of people connect to both, but I don't know if there's a connection. I find the Black Eyed Kids more sinister than the Men in Black, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know. But the Men in Black has been reported, in the U.S., U.K., and South America, Australia, many countries, France. funny thing in Russia and Eastern Europe, very few cases of actual men in black tie reports. Maybe one or two that I know.
Huh. Interesting.
Not that many at all.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You've sort of drawn this delineation between Eastern Europe and the United States twice now with the men in black thing and the grays. So I guess why do you think there's this difference between what's being seen and reported between those two regions of the world?
I don't know if it's a cultural thing or not, but in like I was saying, gray type creatures or humanoids, very rare. And in Russia or Eastern Europe in the 70s or 80s or the 90s began to have some types of gray type creatures. Late 90s, Hungary, Poland, Russia. I don't know why. I don't know what, but maybe, I don't know. Maybe they had different type of visitors back in the 90s or in the 80s. They were mostly human type, tall or giant or robotic, different types. Maybe, you know, they moved on. In the U.S., originally, if you look at the catalog of entities and Ballet's book Passport to Magonia, there are no reports of grays there at all in the 50s or 60s in the U.S. or even the early 70s, not until you know, Travis Walton incident.
Yeah.
75. A lot of the cases of gray encounters in the 50s and 60s were from people that remember those later on under hypnotic, you know, regression, you know, and then mostly in the 80s or 90s, I remember, yes, I was abducted back in 59 by gray, you know, by the grays. I don't know. Food for thought, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. Yeah, it's, well, you wonder where, how that all happened, how they decided to come here. Maybe they got permission or things changed. You wonder, like, what changed here to, if something changed here to allow that kind of encounter. Who knows?
Well, I gotta believe that the dawn of the nuclear age had something to do with it. I think I'm not, you know, big into, you know, the politics of all that, but I think, detonating atomic bombs in the upper atmosphere and underground, I think that has to do something. Somebody has to notice that or some from somewhere. Somebody or something. It has to affect somebody. If we were talking about other dimensions, maybe there's some kind of a dimensional rift that are happening. Who knows?
Right. It could have like a negative effect on their ecosystem. So,
right, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, and then they come here to be like, hey, stop it, dude. Stop doing this stuff because it's hurting other people. And maybe, you know, eventually they'll lash out at us if we keep messing with their you know, environment, their environment.
Well, I don't think we have tested any nuclear weapons for a while. Not, at least not in the U.S. and, or, you know, I don't know about other countries. I think the last country that tested it, a nuclear weapon, was either India or Pakistan, one of them.
Yeah, it would stand to reason one of these countries that are developing nuclear weapons would be.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that's the difficult part, too, in a way, because let's say Iran is developing, I'm under the impression Iran is developing a nuclear weapon. And if we, from what we know about the history of all this, it would stand to reason then that there would be an uptick of UFO activity in and around there. But countries like that and North Korea, we're never going to find out what kind of UFO events are happening there. So it's difficult.
North Korea is nil information about UFOs. There's a lot of, believe it or not, there's a lot of information on UFOs in Iran.
Yeah,
there has been a lot of incidents. Not so far as humanoids, but a lot of incidents of encounters in Iran. Humanoids in Iran, there were several reports in the 70s.
Now, what about the djinn? Have you looked at the djinn at all? Because that is a humanoid type entity that pops up now and again.
Well, yeah. According to Muslim lore, the djinn is some kind of is one of the creatures supposedly created by God that I don't know. It was like an angel, but not good enough. So he was banished to another dimension or another region. And according to lore, they've been trying to get over to our plane of existence here and take over. And they always hated human, the djinn.
Yeah.
They've been trying to take over. But that's another type of humanoid, for sure. I mean, I'm sure there's the whole website, I mean, with like the djinn encounters in a lot of the Muslim countries.
Mm. Mm. Yeah,
I really haven't encountered, I really haven't included too many of those. Maybe a few, but not too many.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. There's a whole sinister element to the djinn that's even adds another layer of creepiness to it, you know.
There are different types of the djinns, yeah.
Yeah, as far as I can recall, I think that the only entity, except for, I suppose, demons, which might be the same thing, that are just pretty much known to hate humans. So, you know.
Right, right.
You don't get that with, like, Bigfoot or even the aliens.
No.
But with the djinn, it seems pretty clear-cut that they're not big fans of humans, so.
No, don't like us too much.
Now, what about robots? You also have robots in the mix here of this whole thing, and I'm good buddies with Bruce Rucks, and he's a huge proponent of the ETs as robots theory. So talk a little bit about some of these cases you've had where people report encountering robots.
Most of the robot encounters that I have are like robot-type entities accompanied by other entities, more human-type entities or even grays. And the robot seems to be like some kind of some kind of security or some kind of guard or some kind of helper with the flesh and bone entities, so to speak.
Hmm.
There's been reports of robot like type entities themselves, some kind of a creature. Or some kind of humanoid coming out of a UFO that looks just like a robot, type of metallic. And there's been cases in which contactees or even abductees have been told that Nordics, they've been told that some of the greys are actual robotic or androids made by them.
Yeah.
So I don't know. There could be a possibility. Yes, so many. It's like a big gumbo, if you ask me, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like you say here, you have, entities, beings, little men, giants, MIB, creatures, amphibians, reptilians, greys, etc. We're dealing with the whole menagerie of creatures. Now, you do have an article on the site about aquatic encounters. Talk a little bit about that. What's going on there?
For ages, we have encountered aquatic entities, mermaids. I mean, even in modern times, we had mermaid encounters in Israel in 2009 off the coast of Israel. There were several encounters with a mermaid, a woman type creature, in Zimbabwe, in Peru, in a lake, a mermaid. This is, I'm talking about 2010,
mm-hmm.
Mermaid type encounters. And besides mermaids, other aquatic entities in the Crimea and the Ukraine, there's an area there that they've seen huge entities swimming underwater that appear to be with scales, but they're human-like. But they don't look like the mermaid, you know, like a regular mermaid. So there's some other type of underwater creature. But ever since there's been throughout the ages encounters with besides the your sea serpent is type mermaids and other aquatic humanoids.
Now what happens when these people see the mermaids? Are there any interaction between the people and the creatures?
There have been reports of interaction. Yeah, that actually either the creature or the mermaid jumps on board the vessel or comes ashore, and there's been reports of a mermaid here and there being captured, mostly in the early Middle Ages.
Well, what do they do when they jump on board the ship, or what happens in the interaction? I mean, do they talk to the people? What do they say? Give me a little bit about that.
But what I remember of the cases of, aboard the vessel, there was one that was captured and then sent, thrown back into the water, but there's another one that jumped on board, but there was no verbal communication of any sort. Not too much communication that I can recall in the mermaid type cases.
Interesting. Okay. Now, beyond the warnings of we talked about sort of the warnings that they've communicated at times, not the mermaids, but just entities in general, and also sort of instances where they say, you know, do you remember me? Are there any other communications that we know of? Obviously, the ongoing type contactee stuff, but anything else, any sort of messages you think that particularly resonate with you that you've heard from these encounters that might be worth talking about?
Another theme that seems to be very common, people are told that that they will know in the future why they have been contacted, that they're being prepared for something. You're not ready. They're not ready yet, but in the future you will know why this happened or why you were contacted or why you were doing this to you. And you will know in the future. They're supposed to know something, and when it happens, why? And they're supposed to do something. You're being prepared for something, and when that happens, you will know what to do. That's another message being told to, you know, different people.
That's bizarre.
I found it bizarre too, because I thought it was only one instance, but then I started getting different instances of people being told that.
And this is, when did these sort of things happen? Like, more recently, or are we talking throughout the course of, the last 100 years or whatever?
Throughout the course, maybe starting in the 80s.
Weird.
80s, when the missing time came of age.
Yeah. So we've almost got, like, partly why I ask that is because, like, maybe if it was something that was happening in the 40s and the 50s, you think the window is closed for whatever was supposed to happen for these people. But if it was happening in the 80s and the 90s and stuff, then we could be, as you said earlier, we could be approaching something that we don't know about yet.
Well, in the 50s, they're mostly if there were cases like that, like I said earlier, there were discarded or ignored by whoever was investigating.
Yeah.
Or the only cases that we heard of that were any contact were the contactees. With, you know, most of them, you know, you can't really say that, you know, maybe some of them had an encounter, but then they made the rest of the stuff up, you know, who knows.
Exactly, yeah. Now, yeah. Well, I hope it's unfortunate. I'm sure there's people that do make this stuff up. Well, that's, you know, that's a disappointment.
I mean, I want to chronicle. I want to document every incident possible that I get a hold of. You know, I read out about, I'm told about, or I read.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's going to be cases there that are bogus. And I'm not a fool. I know. I don't believe everything I read either. You know. I just want to get everything down, recorded. I feel like it's important.
Well, one aspect of this whole paranormal phenomena that I've talked about on the show before and with different types of guests is just the idea that maybe this stuff's just generated from the mind, that maybe these are like tulpa type effects, even if it's subliminal. You know, somebody has an encounter or somebody sees, more likely maybe in these serendipitous type events, maybe just somebody sees something anomalous, but really it's a projection of the mind. I mean, what do you think of that whole line of thought?
All right. Yeah, there's been cases in which somebody is like, maybe they go into a trance and they see all kinds of scenery or scenes or entities, and they think they've been different places and they've been in a room the whole time. Somebody staring at them or sitting next to them and knowing that they haven't gone anywhere. Maybe they projected their mind somewhere else or something. I call those cases psychic cases, in a different category completely.
Right, yeah. Okay, I see what you're saying. So you're saying, yeah, like, You're saying more that the effect is imposed on them, perhaps, than it's something that they've created.
Well, maybe it's some kind of projection from the mind or something. Or, I don't know. Is this triggered by something? You know, I read of cases of people that had some kind of seizure, temporal lobe, and they seen stuff.
Oh God!
You know, temporal lobe seizure, and of course, people that experienced DMT. Is some kind of hallucinogenic, and they see entities also.
Yeah,
but that's, you know, that's another thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like I said, I mean, you're trying to sort through a whole bunch of different stuff all at once. It's remarkable the work that you do. Beyond continuing this mission of chronicling all these things, what's next for you? What do you have, what do you have planned on the horizon? Have you ever considered, I guess the gist of that question really is, have you ever considered putting together some kind of book that will really...
Yeah, I have. I guess I haven't been able to get the right connection yet. I want to do that. I want to do maybe several volumes.
Oh, yeah, you'd have to with all this stuff.
Yeah, well, definitely. I had a couple of issues with people copying all my information and trying to publish something in Amazon under their name. And then I had it was incredible. They just copied and pasted everything and just put it in a Kindle format,
yeah.
Book. Amazon tried to publish it. Of course, I had to fight Amazon, and I say this person stole everything I had in my webpage without my permission. So it's been some problems like that.
That's ridiculous.
They try to say that they themselves compiled everything and incredible. I don't know how people can do that, man. Right?
Yeah, that's just pathetic. You know, anyone, that's just like a really scummy thing to do. I don't know.
Yeah,
shame on those people is what I say. So I highly recommend you put together a book on this stuff. But like I said, I mean, I went to one year on here and it was like 250 pages of a PDF file. And it was, so just the sheer amount of stuff is amazing.
I try to make each entry as long as possible with all the important information in there. You know, I try to stay away from short entries, but there are many of those. But I try to make the entry as informative as possible, to make it interesting, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's just you could get lost for days in this website. So, like I said, I can't commend you enough, Albert. You're doing some tremendous work.
Thank you.
I always know a good researcher because after I'm done talking to them, I have more questions than I had answers, going into this about the subject. I mean, if you know what I mean, a renewed curiosity. And I definitely feel that from talking to you. I'm even more confused about the phenomenon than I was prior to all this.
Me too.
I can imagine. Yeah, it's a tremendous amount of work, and I got to put you over here too, Albert, because you've done some just tremendous stuff, and you're so humble about it. I really am amazed. Anybody else in this field who has done the amount of work that you have compiling this stuff would be patting themselves on the back so much they have an injured shoulder. That's how it is in this field. So,
no, you know what? I enjoy it. I do. Sometimes I do get a little fed up and frustrated and confused, especially when something like that happened, what I mentioned earlier. But I feel like I have to continue doing it, and I enjoy typing all that. I type and I compile and I translate. I try to do all I can to get all the information down.
Yeah, I mean, your humility is breathtaking, man. I mean, you're doing amazing stuff, and I'm glad that Greg turned me on to your material and that we've had the opportunity to have you here on this show, and you've been on Radio Mysterioso, and I'm sure you'll be back on my show and Greg's show, and hopefully on some other shows too, because more people need to know about this work that you're doing, because it's tremendous. It'll give them a whole nother look at this phenomenon in a lot of ways. So I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. We'll definitely get you back on the show to talk more about this. Maybe when I have it a long stretch of time when I can really dig further into this. I'll try and do that idea of putting together the top cases.
Try to read some of the cases and see if you find any interesting cases that you want to discuss, and we could do that.
Yeah, we'll do that sometime in the future. Yeah. We'll do sort of a best of. But on that note, thank you very much for coming on the show, Albert. It's been a real pleasure, my friend.
All right, same here.
That does it for this edition of BOA Audio Season 8. Big, big thanks to Albert Rosales for coming on the show and for giving us so much time. Be sure to check out his website, ufoinfo.com/humanoid. Pretty simple, ufoinfo.com/humanoid. There you can dig into the 17,000-plus case files on humanoid encounters that he has compiled. So carve out a little bit of time to dig into this website. It is like a rabbit hole, my friends. Once you go down into the humanoid encounter case file database that he has created, you're going to be in there for quite some time because it is tremendous stuff. Kudos to him for his tireless work. Moving right along now, it's time for BOA Audio Listener Feedback, but if you're a longtime listener of the program, you can almost certainly guess what I'm about to say right now, and that is that we are going to eschew listener feedback here this week because this episode is long, long, long overdue. I don't even know what happened. Actually, I do know what happened. The last time you heard from me, we were doing the live edition of BOA Audio with the boys from Project Archivist, Lobo, and Rogan. And as you may recall, I was sick as a dog. Thankfully, we managed to wrap up that live program without any incidents during the show. But it took me about 5 or 6 days to truly recover from that illness. And then next thing you know, I was barreling headlong into a week of scheduled taped episodes. And as is always the case when we do the taped episodes, they require quite a bit of time on my end because I want to dive into the materials of the guests. So here I was, I had my head down, I was doing these taped episodes. I think we taped 4 new editions of BOA Audio in the last couple of weeks. And then I looked up and I said, oh my goodness, it's been way too long since we posted this program. Thankfully, I'm sitting on a pretty clear schedule for a change, and I could take the time this past weekend and today to wrap up the Albert Rosales edition of the show, which you have just listened to. I'm also sitting on the BOA Audio Baseball Special, which is historically overdue at this point. I'm going to buckle down tomorrow and hopefully have the rest of the segments for that program edited and, barring any unforeseen developments, have that special edition of the program available for folks on Thursday, because the less time I spend on that, the better, as the vast majority of BOA Audio listeners do not tune into the baseball special. Beyond that, the plan right now is to contact a couple of friends and see about doing another live edition of the program very, very shortly. Hopefully, perhaps Sunday. Best case scenario would be Thursday, but I'm highly skeptical of that. But Sunday or the following week, we'll do another live episode. We got a backlog at this point, which is great. We got a backlog of taped shows that are really, really good. I was very, very happy with these taped shows that we recorded in the last couple of weeks. So for the folks who have been itching to hear BOA Audio, don't worry. I wasn't just resting on my laurels. I wasn't sitting here with my feet up saying, oh, they can wait. I was really buckling down and recording some fantastic future editions of the program, which you're going to start hearing very, very shortly. That's pretty much it. That's basically what's been going on. Sick and then overwhelmed with taped programs and then the annual WrestleMania existential crisis coupled with the BOA Audio Baseball Special keeping me busy, busy, busy. But it is smooth sailing now, and I feel the wind picking up in my sails, and I cannot wait to start unleashing these conversations on you folks and getting back behind the seat for some live editions of the program. With that said, let me give you the means to contact me if you'd like to reach out and be a part of future installments of BOA Audio Listener Feedback. First of all, you can write to Benal at benalofamerica.com. Pretty simple, B-I-N-N-A-L-L at benalofamerica.com. Or you can just head on over to the website and click the contact button. If you want something a little more interactive, you can also join up at the official BOA forum, the US of E.com, theusofe.com. We like to call it BOA's Paranormal Playground. Lots of discussion going on there regarding the world of the esoteric, as well as pop culture and sports. So join up at the US of E for some off-kilter examination of our very weird world. Additionally, I'm on Facebook and Twitter, so just punch in Benall, B-I-N-N-A-L-L. That'll bring up my respective profiles on those social network sites. I would be happy to have you as part of my online circle of friends. And, of course, I've got a plug, Benall of America on Facebook. You can find that simply by punching in Benall of America in the search function on Facebook or by clicking the little Facebook icon at BOA. The BOA Facebook page is where I post the latest in-house news from Benall of America and where I respond to various BOA audio listener feedback inquiries. So head on over there if you want to join in on the virtual fun happening at BOA on Facebook. No matter how you choose to reach out to me, trust me, my friends, I read all correspondences from BOA audio listeners and try to write people back as soon as possible. If I haven't got back to you yet, folks, sit tight. I will reach out to you in response to your correspondence. And I want to hear your thoughts on the program, the season, guests you want to hear in the future, previous guest you really enjoyed and want to hear back on the show, all that good stuff. Send me your thoughts on the program. BOA Audio is truly an interactive show, and it is fueled, as we say at the end of the show, every episode by the BOA Audio listeners. Up next, please allow me to take a moment and thank the outstanding and esteemed BOA staff, Leslie, Chiron, Regan Lee, Joe V., Tina Senna, Richard Thomas, Marla Pena, Bruce Pretty, Tony Morrill, our webmaster Ray Weigel, and our graphics guru Jeremy Boston. We have got a new piece up at Benal of America just posted in the last 24 to 48 hours from the esteemed Regan Lee, so be sure to check that out at BOA. And I want to make another renewed call for fresh voices to feature at Benal of America. If you have something to say about the esoteric, good, bad, or ugly, let me know. I'd love to bring you into the fold at BOA and give you a platform to spread your writing. You know how to get hold of me. I already pushed the contact methods. So if you're thinking about writing about the paranormal, please keep us in mind and let us know if you'd be interested in joining the BOA staff. Traditionally, now would come the time in the program where I take my hat off and pass it around and ask for donations from the BOA audio listeners. But since it has been 3 weeks since you heard from me last, I really don't feel quite comfortable asking for donations. So we'll do the right thing here. Help somebody else out if you want to this week. That would be great because, as I said, it's been a while since you heard from me. I'll push you for donations on the next edition of the program, but I don't want to be disingenuous here and ask for donations after you haven't heard from me in quite some time. on the next edition of BOA Audio, aside from the 2014 BOA Audio Baseball Special. I cannot tell you specifically what you'll be hearing next. I'd like to schedule another live edition of the program, and probably will be contacting some folks tomorrow to see about doing that. As I said, best case scenario is Thursday, but it is highly unlikely. More likely, a special Easter Sunday edition of BOA Live with hopefully a real barn burner of a guest. I've got somebody in mind that I'd like to bring back onto the show. So hopefully, if he's free on Sunday, I think we're going to see if we can do that, and it would be killer. Beyond that, I'm going to start diving into these taped programs that I recorded over the last few weeks and start putting those together and getting those ready to unleash. As always, stay tuned to Banal of America and BOA on Facebook for all the latest news on the next edition of BOA Audio. Hopefully, all of the interminable delays that have really dragged us down here at the beginning of 2014 are in the rear view mirror, and we can get back to some semblance of a normal schedule. It drives me as crazy as it drives all you folks. Trust me, it drives me nuts when we go so long without doing a show. So hopefully we can get things back on track here as we roll into the latter third of BOA Audio Season 8. Unbelievable. This is episode 19 of Season 8, and traditionally we only go 33 episodes per season. So we're well past the halfway point. We are closing in on the end of Season 8 already. It's been an amazingly fast journey this year, especially when you consider the delays that have plagued us in January and March. So stay tuned. That's really all I have to say about that. Stay tuned, because we got a lot of great stuff coming at you in the next few weeks and months as we head toward the close of Season 8. And with that said, we close the book on this edition of the program. Thank you once again to Albert Rosales for coming on the show. And of course, enormous thanks to all you folks out there, the hardcore BOA Audio listeners, the ones who stick around to the very end of the show, the folks who email me and post on Facebook asking when the next edition is going to be coming out. You guys are awesome. You are, as I've always said, the fuel that drives the BOA mothership. Thank you for your enduring support of this program, and thank you once again for making BOA Audio a part of your esoteric audio playlist. Until next time, this is Tim Banal, thanking you for listening and signing off.